How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Think about gathering around a table with loved ones, sharing food, dishing out stews and meats and veggies from serving bowls and platters. This act of coming together around a shared pot can be magical and feeds the soul. So for Filipino American History Month, we are diving into the traditional and celebratory Filipino way of eating known as kamayan, or eating with hands. Billy Deck, the CEO and founder of the River North restaurant Sunda New Asian, and Christine Ledesma, who's co-owner of Kubo Chicago in Lakeview, joined us to talk about the kamayan tradition. I began by asking Christine what sorts of occasions warrant a kamayan meal.
So technically here in Chicago, a lot of people do a lot of kamayan because of their birthday, like a big zero, like 20, 30, 40, 50.
Okay, like a milestone birthday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So big occasions, right?
Pretty much.
Holidays too?
Sometimes there's holidays, or it could be like a wedding rehearsal.
Okay.
But mostly birthdays.
Big moments. Billy, when do you feel called to eat this way?
All the time. We grew up with a gigantic family, like most Filipino families. Some suspect, though, aren't really cousins, but you call them cousins.
Oh, of course.
And everybody comes over.
We know all about that.
And everybody contributes to the gigantic 40-foot banana leaf line table full of all these amazing Filipino items from the 7,641 islands, totally diverse pieces that come together. And yes, completely right about birthdays. I would also say holidays and just like reunions. I would say in our culture, there's always like reunions.
Good reasons to get around, gather and eat, right?
Definitely.
So I want to hear more about that from both of you. Memories of eating this way growing up. So you first, Billy, tell me about your cousins and sharing kamayan with them.
I had a really interesting life growing up in Chicago with a lot of the Filipino community. Grew up in a household with Tagalog being spoken and Filipino food cooked 24 hours a day by my Lola, which means grandmother, who helped raise us. And then almost every other year, we would go back to the islands of the Philippines to be with our family there. And so a lot of occasions to gather and contribute to this sort of community table. And that was my normal. So it was kind of like big feasts where you mix things together, especially in a genre of food that's very much about always evolving and being influenced by other cultures. It was okay to mix. So much of my life growing up was all about experimenting and mixing food with different people.
Interesting. Now, Christine, I hear you, this was a Sunday type of tradition for you all, right?
Pretty much.
Tell me more.
So I was born and raised in the Philippines and didn't come here till I was like adult, like 28. So every Sunday, that's a family day. So you always gather families, you know, cousins. That's what Billy Deck said. Everyone is a cousin. So we normally we'd go to the beach or a waterfall. Anywhere there's water, it's like our tradition. So every Sunday, it's family day.
Sundays at a waterfall.
That
sounds incredible.
So I grew up in a very small island called Bacolod City, or like a little boat suburb too. So there's a beach everywhere or water everywhere.
Just beautiful.
Such is the case when you have 7,641 islands.
Exactly.
What a backdrop for dinner.
It's one of the most beautiful places in the world. And thank you so much for letting us be here and share, because a lot of Americans don't know more than they get from regurgitated media that's been out for decades. It is incredibly diverse and beautiful and one of the most wonderful places in the world.
I love that you mentioned that because, you know, speaking of things that others might not know, like I think of growing up, I had South Asian and Southeast Asian best friends growing up. And so I had done the eating with hands quite a bit. You know, I'd go over to their house. You sleep over. Like, that's kind of, you know, you would get your individual plates and you would eat with your hands in that way. But this, when I see Kamaya and I see that come together, I've watched so many videos just to prepare for this conversation. I'm like, this is different. This is really a communal thing, right?
It mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
Tell us more about how you set the table, Billy. You'd mentioned a banana leaf down the middle.
Yes. And you always begin with this sort of ceremonial foundation of rice. And it usually gets brought out and made into this almost tunnel or tube across this very long table that's steaming of rice.
And so you're putting the rice right on top of the banana leaf.
Yes. It becomes like a little canvas in the middle of the banana leaf that you begin to paint and sort of add on to with all of these different elements.
It almost goes across the table like a table runner, right?
Exactly.
That we would put on for decoration, right?
Exactly. Yes.
That's what it looked like to me.
Yes.
And I was like,
yes.
But it's a pile of food.
Yes.
And we're all going to eat it.
And if you don't have rice, you will start a riot. And so you never
That's criminal.
Miss the rice. That's criminal. And then you start a procession of putting out all these different items like crispy pata and longaniza, which is a Spanish-inspired Filipino sausage that's a little sweet and garlicky, or a whole fish, or shrimp skewers and mango and dragon fruit. And the cool thing is you can continue on and on and on and do it different ways, and no one way is right.
Yeah, that's pretty darn cool. Mm-hmm. Christine, I want to hear more about the different meats and seafood and fruit.
Yes, you got to have fruit. So when I grow up, I always see my mom always have a banana or a mango next to her while eating the actual savory meal.
Mm.
So that's part of it. You got to have that color.
Is it like a palate cleanser, the
fruit? It is. And mangoes too. Mangoes and tomatoes and onions, it is a palate cleanser. Like after eating, a pork, you wanted to go to the next one of fish.
Yes.
You wanted to cleanse it. So that would be your palate cleanser.
One thing that I love about approaching just like a charcuterie board or any moment where there's lots of different foods on my plate, I like to think about making that perfect bite. So what is your go-to bite? What are your favorite combinations?
So this is really a pro tip. So if you ever get invited to a Kamayan or a Filipino
gathering
in any sort, there is a way in which, and I know we're on radio, so I don't know if you can, I'll be descriptive. You almost kind of squish the rice together, similar to the way in which a Japanese chef might do a little nigiri to create like a little mound.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll grab a protein, whether it's like adobo braised pork belly or crispy pata or the fish. And you might dip that in a little bit of a vinegar mix with like pepper, salt, chili.
Mm.
And then you might put it on top of that piece of rice. And then you might hold that and swish it into a little thing with your fingers.
Yeah, a little ball.
And then you might flip your fingers as if they were facing up to the sky, so it's holding the piece. And then that thumb flicks it in your mouth.
What a process. If you do that,
they will freak out. They'll just be like, wow, you are completely... You must be Filipino.
You're a pro.
Yeah.
You must actually be Filipino.
Because it's a burst of flavor. That's why you wanted. Me, technically, I wanted to have a crunch, like a lot of, a lot of texture in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would mix, you know.
So the soft with the rice mixed with something crunchy.
Yes.
Mixed with, you know, then the sauce.
Even with the noodles in it. Rice, noodles, and something crispy fried.
Yummy.
So that would be good.
Yeah.
You've adapted the communal style a little bit at your restaurant, Christine.
Yes,
tell us about that.
So we've been open for 7 years. So our communal dining has about 16 dishes in it. So it's a lot. It is a lot. I mean, I feel like there's only one, you know, reservation that finished the whole meal. But that's 16 dishes that we do individual serving for about 12 dishes. And then the rest are communal dining. But it's equally shared to everyone. Everyone has the same food. Mm. So it's actually the symbolism of equality.
I love that. Well, traditionally, what is the etiquette at this kind of communal meal? Like, I mean, what should someone know who's new to this about maybe being polite before you sit down to a meal like this?
Don't sneeze. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's making sure, I tend to feel like my elders especially are constantly looking over to make sure I have enough of the things, like a good mix in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very communal. It's really wonderful to see people eat like our ancestors did. And I mean all of us, no matter where you are from around the world or where your ancestors are from. At one point, we were eating with our hands. And to be connected through food. And yeah, I think it's just kind of in the Filipino culture, and I know that you agree, it's feeding people is love.
It is the way.
And they make sure you're eating well before they are almost.
I want to go way back briefly here, Billy, because as I mentioned, it's a traditional way of eating. Tell us what happened to Camayan when the Spanish colonized the Philippines.
Yeah, the story that I've heard, which I think is super fascinating, is that, as I said, all of our ancestors at some point, it doesn't matter where they're from in the world, were eating with their hands. When the Spanish colonized the Philippines for 400-ish years, they implemented many rules. And one of them was that they forced folks to use utensils.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think is really interesting and neat is, and we practice today, is when folks were able to gather with their friends and family who they trusted and loved, and those doors would close, regardless of whether they had the fork and the spoon and the knife on the wall to show the Spanish that they complied, they would feel comfortable enough to go back to the way in which all ate connected through food with their hands. Camay means hand, by the way.
Yes.
And that's the story that I always told. So whenever I'm hosting something, we hosted something last night for 80 people on a 40-foot banana leaf line table. And they came from all over the city. And I was able to tell that story to say, listen, I am very grateful that you're here. I love that we get to share this with you for Filipino American History Month. Similar to the way our ancestors did, when we feel love and trust and comfort, we will close those doors and we're amongst each other and we'll eat like we, like it always was done with our hands. That's what we did last night.
That's wonderful. Christine, you started teaching yourself to cook these recipes once you came to the United States in your late 20s. So what does it mean to you now to be able to offer this style of cooking and eating to Filipinos and non-Filipinos who are here in Chicago?
Yeah, pretty much I opened a restaurant just to make sure my culture and my tradition will stay on. So I opened a restaurant to share what my tradition is, especially with the Camayan, having to share the authentic, you know, food. I learned cooking because I wanted to eat my dishes and no one is serving it. So a lot of phone calls to the Philippines trying to get how to make it.
Yes.
And that's how I learned how to cook, is by calling them.
I can imagine how that must have been. Your son had friends at the restaurant for a Camayan celebration?
Yeah.
Is that right?
On his middle school graduation, he invited three of his friends to share the Camayan. It was, and they were impressed. They were so happy and something different for them.
Yeah. Well, I understand, Billy, your grandmother, who you said you grew up with, she didn't teach you these recipes. So, I mean, how did you learn? You went back to the Philippines to learn?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Growing up in America, you, I guess, like a lot of people, are kind of conditioned or signaled to do certain things to succeed and be seen as successful or accepted. And that really kind of made us push away from our heritage, which is a tough problem that a lot of folks go through.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize until later on, when I started missing it, missing my Lola, missing her food, that I was way more in love with that. And that's where Sunda was born. And I thankfully had the most amazing chef partner. I have a chef partner named Mike Morales, a whole team. And they too had these backgrounds. And there was a lot of, not necessarily just learning the recipes, but how to amp it up, how to make it like a little bit better ingredients, cooking styles, presentation, service standards, and how to make the mainstream really love what we grew up on as much as we did.
Yeah. Well, real quick, if people are interested in having a Camayan experience at your restaurants, how do they book it? You first, Christine.
Okay. Mine, you have to at least book it 24 hours because not everything is ready for you the same day. And it's a lot of work prepping it. So call us 24 hours before you know, the day.
Sounds good. And Billy?
And we used to do something very similar, but then during COVID, we realized people didn't want to share with strangers, so we made these individual ones on big cooking blocks, and now they're available all the time, so they're right on the menu.
Beautiful.
And you get your own tableside version of it. Also now in Fulton, we have a new Sunda and Fulton Market. So at both places.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
We've been speaking with Billy Deck, who's CEO and founder of Sunda New Asian, a Southeast Asian restaurant in River North, and Christina Ledesma, who's co-owner of Kubo Chicago. That's a Filipino restaurant in Lakeview. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic. It was edited by Dan Tucker and mixed by Meha Ahmed. If you're interested in hearing more conversations like this, you can check out our entire catalog of interviews at wbez.org/reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again this afternoon.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.